lion. I like that. I've never been described.
All right.
Introduced as a lion before, but I love that. I love that. Now, let me tell you why I asked Alex, where can I get a good chopped cheese? I try to eat healthy, so, you know, it wasn't because I don't know, bro.
What's the chopped cheese, man?
Google it. What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Yeah.
All right. I see some of you guys I've known since you were preteens. So that's a good sign that you're still hanging around. That's a good thing. I'm excited to be here. You know, I love campus ministry. It has a very special place in my heart. It's where I was converted 20 years ago. Just to correct, I don't want you guys thinking I was faithful longer than I have it. But 20 years ago, 2 years after being baptized, I went into the ministry as an intern, and a year after being hired full-time, we was given the Harlem region in its entirety to lead over 530 disciples at the time. So it was a Herculean task, but that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. You know, God is always going to call us to do things that are bigger than ourselves.
All right.
And in order for us to see it through, in order for us to not waver, we got to be totally committed.
Come on.
You have to be totally committed. Please open, click, or swipe, or tap, or whatever you do in your Bible to get to Ezekiel chapter 22.
Oh, okay.
Now, I like some participation, so I'm going to ask you guys a few questions. And the first question I have for you is, what is a celebrity?
Oh, all right.
How would you define a celebrity? Anyone? Big man. Someone who is well known for their craft, okay?
Someone who has a heavy influence.
Someone who has a heavy influence.
Someone who is celebrated for what they do.
Someone who is celebrated for what they do. Say it again.
Someone with a platform.
Okay, so we could also say that it's one who's widely known, right?
Okay.
Or popular, doesn't necessarily have to be for anything good, right? It could be something that, you know, they a big mistake, or, you know, there was this guy who was arrested. His mugshot was so popular. The guy was arrested for robbery, but because his mugshot looked so good, he got a modeling job after he got out of prison. So you can be famous for things other than being positive, right? Newsmakers, personality, famous people. Now let me ask you this question: what is a hero? How would you define a hero? Yep. Someone who puts others before himself.
Someone who saves someone.
Someone who saves someone.
Someone who stands up.
Someone who stands up for others.
Someone who makes sacrifices.
Someone who makes sacrifices. Let's get one more. Your hand in the back. Hard worker. A person noted for courageous acts or nobility of character. Would you also say that that's a hero? You know, sometimes the difference between the two are very foggy.
Right.
The difference between a celebrity makes a big splash. It's all about their image and fame. Heroes make a big difference. It's all about character and self-sacrifice. Celebrities want people to serve and notice them. Heroes want to serve and notice others. It's easier to be a celebrity on our campuses, but it takes commitment to be a hero.
Yeah.
The world does not need another celebrity, but we are in desperate need of heroes.
Right. On.
Godly women don't want to date celebrities.
Yes.
They want to hang on the arms of a spiritual stud. And I'm telling you that because I married one. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Let's look at the Bible right here. I like to open my Bible, so I don't judge me. All right,
James, I'm with you, man.
I'm old school like that. Ezekiel 22 keeps the mind sharp. Ezekiel 22, verse 30 says, "I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it, but I found none."
Wow.
You know, God was looking for a man, not men. He was looking for one man who would stand up who would stand in the gap, who would value being a hero over a celebrity. So you read the verses before it, the priests, the leaders, the prophets had all become celebrities, telling people what they want to hear, taking the glory from God and taking it upon themselves. And God was like, I want just one man to stand in the gap and make a difference.
Right.
And he scanned over all of Israel and couldn't find one. If God scanned this room, what would he find? Celebrities or heroes? Who do you want to be? Who is God calling you to be? See, God was looking for a man. Now, this wall that Ezekiel is speaking of was not a wall of stones. It was a wall of faith and righteousness. Mm-hmm. And this wall was in disrepair because the current leaders were busy being celebrities instead of heroes. You know, a celebrity is more concerned about how many followers he has on Twitter.
All right.
Are you a hero? I believe that we have the recipe, that God has you here for this very reason, to call you out of your comfort zone to be someone who can make a difference.
Yeah. Amen.
God needs someone who's willing to stand in a gap and add more followers to Jesus than his Twitter page.
Amen.
You see, it all comes down to what you're committed to, guys.
Come on.
If you're committed to God, then you can be one step away, one conversation away from being a hero. 20 years ago, I was in desperate need of saving. I was confused. I couldn't tell if I wanted to be a Muslim, a 5%er, or a Christian. Because everybody, in my opinion, were hypocrites. I couldn't trust any of them. I had friends in every different faith, every denomination, and they were all hypocrites in my eyes. So I was so confused, and I told God, you know what? If you want me to follow you, then you got to take away the confusion. You got to take away the confusion because right now, I need a hero.
Right.
And this guy, Omar Benet,
come on.
The first day of register, I didn't even start my first campus class. This guy was struggling. He was doing what Rob asked you guys to do on registration day. Go out there and share your faith. Reluctantly, he walks up to me. He's bombed out. Everybody he shared his faith with up until that point said no or blew him off. He said, God, I'm only going to talk to one other guy. And guess who that one person was? He walked up to me and he simply asked, hey, my name is Omar. Are you interested in studying the Bible? I said, sure. As simple as that. He was about to give up, but he had no idea that God was about to make him into a hero.
Come on.
Wow. Come on.
Who would have known one invitation to study the Bible would not only save someone's life, but change the entire course and purpose of his life?
Wow.
Don't underestimate what God has given you to share. How do you measure commitment? How do you measure commitment? I love this quote. The only measure of what you believe is what you do. If you want to know what people believe, don't read what they write. Don't ask what they believe. Just observe what they do. That's how you know. That's how you measure commitment. So my question to you guys is, what are you going to do after this retreat?
Come on, bro.
Are you going to just talk about how exciting it was? Are you just going to talk about all the fun you had? Are you just going to talk about all the great dates you were in? Are you just going to talk about the classes? Or are you going to become what God is calling you to be?
Come on,
bro.
You guys will be my children's hero. Think about that.
Yeah. Wow.
You will be my children's hero if you allow God to use you. You know, when I think about heroes, I think about King David. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And when the giant Philistine Goliath defied the armies of God, David stood in the gap. He was that one man who was willing to stand in the gap. And he defeated the army. And I love David's story. Not only did he chop off Goliath's head, he walked around the camp with it. I mean, he walked around this big old head in his hands, and then he took it and put it in his tent. He took the trophy. And I'm thinking, that that's awesome. I love that. But he was Israel's hero, this little shepherd boy who was not trained to be a warrior. stood in the gap. I'm willing. Lord, send me. And God defeated a giant through David. Let's look over to 1 Samuel 22. You know, David wasn't always a hero, though. David wasn't always a hero.
All right.
In 1 Samuel chapter 22, and we're going to spend a lot of time here in 1 and 2 Samuel. And if someone's already preached from this book, then good. You can hear it again. And if someone's going to speak on this book after me, so Lord, James already preached on it. 1 Samuel 22, verse 1 and 2. Since David left Gath, now at this point, David is on a run from King Saul, the very king whose kingdom he saved.
Right.
Saul grew jealous, he grew envious of David because he knew that God was about to make David the next king, the next hero. And so David is fleeing for his life. Rather than taking Saul's life, taking his situation into his own hands, he respected God, he revered God. And so now he's on the run, and this great warrior is now resorting to hiding out in caves. And so here in verse 1, it says, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became the leader. He became their leader. About 400 men were with him.
Wow.
I don't know how you feel about your campus ministry today. Maybe you feel like the guys in your group are discontent. Every single one of you are in debt. Or distressed. But you know what? Someone needs to lead that group. They still need a leader. And so they went down to David. They went down to David. So David, he wasn't always the giant slayer that we read about. There was a time when David was hiding out in caves.
Yep.
And it probably would have been easy for him to just sit there and wait out God's plan. But David said, no, there are battles to be fought.
Right.
There are victories to be won. God is calling us out of our caves. I don't know what your cave is, but I'm here to tell you that God is calling you out of your cave. David marched out of his cave because of his commitment to God. We all made a commitment to God. And if you're visiting and you have yet to make a commitment to God, you're committed to something.
Right.
And whatever you're committed to, your heart will follow. Think about that. If you're committed to God, your heart will follow you all the way to heaven. If you're not committed to God, it's going to follow you to a place you don't really want to be. If you're visiting, I just want to ask you one question. What do you stand for? What do you stand for? If you're a Christian, what do you stand for? I don't want to assume that just because we're disciples, we all stand for Jesus.
Right.
We all stand for the kingdom. Here's the thing. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Right. Right.
Paul tells us, Peter tells us that, you know, every wind of teaching, you get caught up. James says that, you know, we can get blown away by every wind of teaching that comes our way if we don't stand firm. And I'm here to tell you, if we don't stand firm, we will fall for anything.
Right.
So I have three simple points, three simple things that I believe that can help us to make that transition from wanting to be celebrities to being heroes. The first thing that needs to feed our commitment is conviction.
All right.
Right. Come on.
2 Samuel 23. Let's turn there. 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23.
Come on, James.
With you, bro.
In verse 9, you may have heard of the story of David's mighty men,
right.
And I believe that God is calling us to be mighty men.
Yeah.
In verse 9, it says, next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, Ahohite. As one of the three mighty men, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines, gathered, at Pasdemon for battle. Then the men of Israel retreated, but he stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. Wow. You know, I remember my first campus retreat. This story was read. And ever since then, I was intrigued by Eleazar. You know, my campus ministry We gave all the guys nicknames. We all gave everyone biblical nicknames. And that was my nickname, Eleazar. And it stuck with me ever since.
Wow.
Because of that very fact that while he was in battle, his hand was frozen to the sword.
Right.
He refused to let go his weapon. And I just imagine that this guy was fighting with everything he had.
Yeah.
And his weapon was like an extension of his arm.
Wow.
And he's just swinging and swinging while everybody else flee. Eleazar stood his ground.
Mm.
And the only time the guys came back was to clean up the plunder. Sometimes you will be the only one standing in the gap.
Yeah.
Sometimes you may find yourself holding the ground alone. But you're not alone. Mm. Because God is with you. You know, Eleazar, he's one of my favorite characters. And, you know, I'm thinking about this guy. It must have been nuts for him to stand there by himself and fight against all these Philistines. But I love this. I love this quote about conviction right here. It says, every great oak tree started out as a couple of nuts who stood their ground. There are times where we're doing things and you think, this is nuts. I mean, the odds are against us.
Right.
There is no victory in sight. But we need to do something.
Talk about it.
We got to stand for something, because if we don't stand for something, we'll keep running. So what do you stand for? You know, we live in a faithless society.
Yeah.
And the battles we face are political, ethical, moral, and personal. But we have to take our stand. We have to stand for something. You know, shortly after being baptized, my mom, of all people, was very unhappy. Mind you, she was the one who told me to pray for God to send me friends that will help me get to heaven. And so I prayed that prayer every day, not knowing where it would lead me. And so after getting baptized, she said, you know, I don't like the fact that you're going to a different church. I want us to go to church together as a family. So now I'm faced with a dilemma. Do I go to a church where I know the Bible's not being taught correctly? Where I know the doctrine is false? Or do I stand on my own convictions and go where I know the truth is being preached? And my mom and I, we went at it, and it was bad. I got a lot of advice. I felt discouraged. I was sad. I was angry. I was disappointed. I'm thinking, of all the people, my mom.
Right.
And it was tough. But I tell you one thing. I stuck to the scriptures.
Right.
I shored up my convictions. I went back to the Bible with everything she said. I went back to the Bible to make sure that what I was standing for was right.
Yeah.
To make sure that what I was standing for was true. Because when you stand before God, God's not going to care how your parents treated you.
Right.
God's not going to care about the persecution you got on campus.
Yeah.
God wants to know, did you stand for me? Did you stand on the convictions that I left for you to follow?
Right.
See, it's not hard to stand for something, but it's very easy to fall for anything.
Bro.
You know, it's funny because 2 years later, my mom ended up getting baptized.
Hey. Oh, come on.
She ended up getting baptized. She started studying the Bible. I didn't even know she was studying the Bible. I just happened to call and say, hey, Mom, how's it going? So, oh, you know, some sisters just left. We just did the kingdom study. I'm like, what stopped? What? When did you start studying the Bible? And next thing I know, we're at the Jacob Javits Center, and I'm standing on stage in front of 1,000 brothers and sisters asking my mom, what's her good confession?
Wow.
And when I asked her, Mom, I had everybody get in there. I mean, I had Cynthia Powell. I mean, she's been to women. She's been to everything. I said, Mom, what was it? What was the thing that changed? Why did you change? Why did you decide to start studying the Bible? She said, when I looked at your conviction,
wow,
it convicted me that I was not as committed as you and your brother were. I found out later that she even sent my brother to stop my baptism. That's how serious it was. I got baptized. I baptized my brother a year after, and we both baptized my mom 2 years after that.
Come on.
God, stand by your conviction. Let me tell you something. You never know who is watching. You never know who's looking at you thinking, I want to see how long it goes before he comes back. I have friends who are waiting for me to snap out of it. 20 years later, they're like, I can't believe you're still doing this. I'm like, yeah, because this is my commitment to God.
Right.
You know, the NIV says that Eleazar's hand was frozen to the sword. He used the only weapon he had, and that was the Word of God. Guys, how is your personal time in the Word? You cannot get far on borrowed faith. You can't get far on hype and on encouragement alone. You got to develop your own convictions. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the Word. If you're not hearing the Word, your faith is being starved.
Right. Come on.
You're starving your faith. Feed your faith and feed it daily. Secondly, courage. Courage. This is the image of a Maasai warrior.
Yep.
And part of their rite of passage is they slay a lion.
Yep.
These are herdsmen. They live in Africa. And if a lion picks off one of their goats or their cows, the Maasai warriors go after the lion, hunt it down, and kill it with a spear.
Wow. Jeez.
Courage. Courage. Let's look over in verses 11 and 12. 2 Samuel 23. Can I get someone else to read that? 2 Samuel 23, verses 11 and 12. Come on, I don't want you guys falling asleep on me. Come on, bro. Stand up.
I'll do it. You said 11 and 12?
Yes.
1 Samuel 23, verse 11. It says, will the citizens of Kalai surrender me to him? Will Saul come down?
No, I'm sorry. 2 Samuel.
2 Samuel. Sorry, yes. 1 Samuel.
2 Samuel 23, verse 11.
All right, 11 and 12. Okay, next to him was Shammah, son of Agi, the Hararite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down. And the Lord brought about a great victory.
It takes courage to defend what's yours. It takes courage. God always rewards courage.
Right.
God is always behind a courageous heart. Yeah. Too many of us have fleeing hearts. Shammah was committed to protecting his field of beans.
Wow.
What you guys are called to protect is far more valuable than a field of beans.
Right.
This man risked his life for a field of beans. We're on a college campus where there's a field of souls. And God is calling us to defend it with the word of truth.
Wow.
Do you rise or do you flee? I don't know about you, but if a lion snatches one of my goat, I'm like, you know what? We got five more. I'm not going after no hungry lion with a spear. But it's not about revenge. It's not even about teaching a lion a lesson. It's about protecting what is yours. This is mine. And if we're committed to God, then our campuses belong to God. This is God's, and I will risk my life to defend it.
Come on.
Shammah was committed. He said, this is mine, and you're going to have to kill me to take it. Your campus is your field of beans, and Satan is trying to steal it away from you.
Yep.
Ask yourself, what else does my field represent? Is it your purity? Is he trying to steal away your purity? Online porn, lust, immorality. Is it your faith? Is Satan trying to steal away your faith? Protect it.
Yeah, mom.
Is he trying to steal away your relationships with the other brothers or with the sisters? Is he sending worldly guys in to steal away your sisters? Protect it.
Yeah.
I remember one time at campus, The sisters, I walked in. It just seems like things always happen as soon as I walk on campus. I walk through the doors. Two sisters come. They rush up to me. James, this guy's been following us all day. And I'm like, man, I didn't get to read or nothing. I'm like, dude. I'm like, good Lord. So I walk in, and I can see the guy. And he's just been following the sisters. And so I said, hey, man, how's it going? I didn't know what to expect. This guy could have hauled off, punched me in the face, and I didn't know what he was going to do. I didn't know where his head was at. But I knew something was off.
Come on.
And all I knew is that I had to protect my sisters.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Even if that meant me standing in between this guy who could do whatever and them.
Right.
And I pulled them aside. I said, hey, look, the girls feel a little uncomfortable. Let's talk. Let's go hang out. And he's looking around, and he's trying to, and but we got to protect our sisters.
Come on, James.
Amen, bro.
We got to defend what we love. If you love this church, you got to defend it. If you love your campus ministry, you got to defend it. I don't let anyone talk bad about my friends. You don't know them like I know them. You got a problem, you take it to him. Don't come to me with that. I got a problem with people talking bad about my church. If you don't like it, there's other churches you can go to. But if you're going to be here, then be here.
All right.
I'm not going to let anyone talk bad about my brothers and sisters to me. You don't know them like I know them. You got an issue, you can take it, you can keep walking. You don't have to be here. But we got to defend what we love. If we love God, we can't just let people talk about God any kind of way they want. I remember sitting up, I was studying the Bible with a guy. We're in the library, and I'm opening up the Word, and I just get this, I almost got contact from the guy. He was high.
Right.
I'm like, dude, are you smoking? He said, yeah, man, I'm like, you know what? I closed the Bible. I'm sorry, but I cannot let you dishonor God's Word like that. Let's reschedule, and don't come high next time. I didn't see him again, and you know what? I was absolutely fine with that.
Yeah,
I'm going to defend the honor of God.
Yeah.
I'm not going to just let anybody treat God the way they want to.
Right. Yeah.
If we love God, we got to defend it.
Right.
All right.
And it's time to see yourself the way God sees you. God doesn't see you as a coward. God sees you as a lion. God sees you as a warrior. When he saw Gideon in Judges, Gideon was hiding.
True.
Threshing wheat in a wine press, in a cellar, basically.
Come on.
And God said, mighty warrior. He's like, who are you talking to? And I think some of us are the same way. God is calling you a mighty warrior. You're like, who are you talking to?
Come on.
You're a mighty warrior.
Amen.
And if you're committed to God, God will use you to defend your field of beans. One day, studying the Bible with a guy on campus, I arrived again. And before I could get on campus, my eye just happened to catch hundreds of flyers posting negative things about our Bible talk. They were posted on the McDonald's. They were posted on the telephone poles. They were posted on the bus stops. They were posted on the phone booths. We had phone booths back in those days. On the phone booths, on the front doors of the campus. So as you're walking, it's right there. Once you get in, they were lined up against the escalators. You go into the restroom. You're trying to take a leak. They're right there and posted on the... I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? And right away, fear jumped into my heart. I'm thinking, I'm about to study the Bible with this guy. We got Bible talk later. We're not going to get anybody to come. This guy's going to think, what kind of group is this? And right away, people come, James, you see all these flyers? You see, what are we going to do? I said, guys, let's pray.
Yo.
Let's just pray. That's all we can do. And we prayed, and we didn't touch any flyer. We prayed. And I walked into that study. And I said, hey, man, you probably saw these flyers. And, you know, I mean, he said, what flyers? God shielded the dude. I'm thinking, how? This flyer's right there. But we get so fearful sometimes. And I think we make ourselves more afraid than we actually need to be.
All right, then.
God's got your back, guys.
Right.
That year, our campus grew more than any other semester that I've been a part of BMCC. Because we were courageous. We refused to let Satan take our
Come on.
It may not seem important to him or others, but it was important to us. We're not going to let people step on our grounds and take it away from us. We're going to pray like our lives depend on it, and we're going to trust God to give us the victory.
Right.
What does it take to keep you from sharing your faith?
Good question.
Does it take a bad comment? Does it take bumping into a guy who used to study the Bible and now has a bad attitude to dissuade you from sharing your faith? What does Satan have to do to shut you up? Let me tell you something, guys. We can't afford to be cowards.
Come on.
Amen.
God works with courage.
Come on, bro.
Amen.
And that's not the absence of fear. That's staring fear in the face and say, I see you.
Right.
But I'm not going to bow down to you.
Yep.
Wow. I'm not going to bow to you. I'm going to go, and I'm going to trust that God is going to give me the victory.
Come on.
Don't flee in your hearts. Be courageous, and God will give you the victory. And lastly, challenges. You know, these heroes conquered challenges. And you may feel like these ants right here trying to move a boulder up a hill. Any challenge that comes your way could defeat you. But any challenge you face with God, you can conquer. You see, commitment comes with its sets of challenges, brothers. You know, I thought when I became a Christian that everything was going to be peachy keen. That I was going to, you know, have this great faith, that I was never going to struggle with lust, that I was going to read my Bible and automatically preach like Sam Powell. And I just thought, I had a lot of expectations.
Right.
And I got hit with a ton of bricks. I felt like these ants. I'm like, how am I going to move these worldly people out of my life? How am I going to deal with this situation at work? How am I going to deal with this ex-girlfriend coming back? All of a sudden, out of the blue, now all of a sudden she wants to get back together. How am I going to deal with this? Challenges. And you know, the first thing you got to do with your challenges, you got to admit you have them.
Right.
I think sometimes we think, amen, I'm faithful, and we try to ignore it. No. Embrace your challenge. Acknowledge that it's there. And then let God help you conquer it.
Mm-hmm.
You say 2 Samuel 23, can I have someone read verses 20 through 23? 2 Samuel 23, verses 20 through 23. Let's get somebody, my man right here, the hood on. Yes. Big voice. Benaniah. Girl, just say the best you can. That's a challenge right there, brother. Oh, come on now. Embrace the challenge. Sure.
Snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Such were the exploits of Benaniah's son, of Jehoiakim. He too was included as a three mighty warriors. He was held in great honor than any of the third, but he was not included among the three. And David put him in charge of the bodyguard.
Amen. Thank you, man. This is what they make movies out of, guys.
Yeah, right.
I mean, this is the type of stuff movies are made out of, man. This is John Wick type stuff right here. Taking a guy's gun and shooting with his own gun. I mean, this is what these guys were doing. This is what this guy was doing. I mean, it's amazing, man. And, you know, I love this quote right here. It says, when confronted with a challenge, the committed heart will search for a solution. The undecided heart searches for an escape. Do you embrace your challenges or do you run away from them? Here's the thing about
that. Amen.
Whenever you run away for a challenge, it doesn't disappear. It relocates. It shows up again. So the best thing you can do is deal with them. Deal with them with faith. Deal with them aggressively. Don't ignore it. It's going to stay. You know, what challenges on your campuses do you need to confront? What challenges in your character do you need to get after? What are you avoiding, if anything? You know, trials are necessary for growth. They are part of God's tool. God uses trials to mature and refine us. I love this scripture right here in James 1. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Right.
Not lacking anything. We have to persevere. You see, our commitment, when we make the commitment to make Jesus Lord, to follow Jesus, it doesn't stop there. You got to keep going.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And that is going to come with challenge. Jesus himself said, you must deny yourself and follow me daily. He says you must carry your cross. He told me the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be challenges. And every great man of God went after his challenge. Even when they were afraid, even when they lacked conviction, they allowed God to put conviction in them so that they can conquer their challenges. You know, the time is now. Who knows why Benaniah jumped into that pit of, I don't know. To me, you know, maybe he was bored. Maybe he was, you know, maybe he oversaw making sure that the snowy pits were clear of lions. I don't know what his task was. Or maybe he just happened to be walking by and thought, someone can fall in this pit with this lion. Let me go down there and deal with that. Maybe he saw that as a challenge to the men in his army. That someone could slip and fall and be devoured. Whatever his reason was, he saw a challenge and he went in after it.
Wow.
And God gave him an amazing victory.
Amen.
Maybe he simply wanted to challenge himself and grow in his faith. He wanted to be a hero. He wanted to be a hero. You know, coincidentally, all of David's mighty men did what they did because they were loyal to a man who was loyal to God. So ultimately, they did it for the glory of God.
Right.
As a result, they became celebrities. They weren't trying to be celebrities, but they became famous because of their commitment to God. Everyone here has the potential to be a hero. It may not be the capacity that you envision. Maybe you'll never get to preach a sermon. Maybe you'll never get to lead a campus ministry. Maybe you'll never even get to lead a Bible talk. But God can still use you to be a hero.
Come on. Yeah.
Even if you're just a hero to one person, you're still a hero.
Yeah.
Let me tell you right now. Every person who was saved by someone who denied themselves to sacrifice themselves for them, to that person, they will always have a hero.
Yes.
Even if that was the only act of bravery that person done in their entire life, he was still a hero.
That's right.
If you only help one person come to Christ, you're a hero to one person. And that will be one less person going to hell. God can use any of us. There are people in the Bible we read about, we don't even know their names. Unsung heroes.
Right.
There are people in the Bible that you may never even know of or read about. You can barely pronounce their names. You think these people set out to be celebrities? You think they'd be think that, you know, someone's going to be preaching about me in 2017 at a campus conference?
Yeah, right.
Benaniah wasn't thinking that. He was just thinking, there's a lion in the pit. I'm going to go down and kill it. And as a result, we're reading about his exploit, his commitment, his courage, his willingness to face a challenge, and we're inspiring ourselves. Someone can hear about you 20 years from now and be inspired by your commitment. But it's going to take a relentless commitment, brothers. You know, I don't know what your commitment statement is, but I want to encourage you to take some time, put it on paper, or type it, or swipe it, or whatever you do, but put it down. This is my commitment. This is what I am bringing to the table. This is what I'm bringing to my relationship with God. You see, for me, my commitment as a Christian, I'm part of a fellowship of the unashamed. I've stepped over the line. Decisions have been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back down, or be still. My past is redeemed, my presence makes sense, and my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, mundane walking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, top, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by patience, lifted by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, or meander in a maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, and let up until I stayed up, stored up, prayed up, and paid up and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no problem recognizing me because my banner will be clear. My commitment is I am a disciple of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died, and for them he was raised again. Let's dream big for God. Let's raise our banners high. Let our convictions, let our courage, let our conqueror's heart impact the world around us for the glory of God. Brothers, let's go out here and let's win this world for God. And God bless you.